Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Longhorn Republic, your source for Texas Longhorn news, sports, and opinions with a bit of snark built in. We are a podcast of Burn Orange Nation, and you can find more great Texas Longhorn content over at burnorangenation.com. If you like what we do, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It helps get the show out there. Share this with your friends wherever you found it, whether it was Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere where you find fine podcast content. You can find Kyle and myself. Connect with us on social media at Longhorn Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, The Longhorn Republic, or shoot us an email, longhornrepublicpod@gmail.com. My name is Gerald Goodridge. I'm your host this week, like I am every week, and I'm joined by a man who's been singing Purple Rain all week, Kyle Carpenter. Kyle, how are you?
Oh, you know, I like Gogol Bordello's Start Wearing Purple as well. I have a couple purple tracks I can't speak, but I can listen, because we're talking purple music here. Now, Gerald, you know, I've come to not hate and fear Kansas State quite as much as maybe I did in the history of this podcast. We've been doing it, 6 years? I have lessened a little. If Tom Herman gave us anything, it may have been that he took some of the voodoo out of Bill Snyder's cauldron of magic. But no. I can now respect Kansas State because they don't just simply beat us in every sport possible, even when it's their only win on the season. That's baseball, like 3 years ago. But no, yeah, we get to do a little K-State preview. It's always a good one.
You really could have gone with Big Mo and purple stuff as well. I lobbed it up there for you. You're in
Houston. Sure did.
You could have gone with it. It's fine. You could just throw your hands high and wave from side to side. It's fine. No, so we've got another one of our season previews again. We've done this every Thursday for the last now 9 weeks, so you can check us out. We'd love to have you go back and listen to them, find a team you're interested in, or listen to them all. We'd love to have you listen to them all, and we'll close the show out today with some Godzillatron. So we are standing on the precipice. It's officially August, meaning that we no longer have a month without football. However, we've still got about 30 days until the Longhorns kick off, but football starts this month either way. We're barreling through our season preview. We're on the other side of a bye week, thankfully. I mean, we didn't take a week off, but Texas gets a week off between Oklahoma State and their next opponent. Kansas State is on the schedule. We've been going week by week through each of the teams on the Longhorn schedule every Thursday, so you can check us out, go back through and listen to them. Last week's was super fun, and I think this one is going to be another one. We've got a friend of the show, JT Van Gilder from Bring On the Cats. He was with us last year to help us preview the Wildcats, and he's here again this week. JT, man, how you doing today?
Well, you know, it's not too bad. We enjoyed a beautiful week here in North Central Kansas last week, and weekly high didn't get above mid 80s. So, I mean, it was just gorgeous. Like, couldn't tell that it was end of July. So now we're back up into the summer temperatures and sweating through t-shirts two or three times a day. And, you know, it's getting into football season. It's exciting.
I'm going to say, you shut your mouth rubbing it into all Gerald, myself, and all of our listeners. Not that they're all from Texas, but yes, it's been hot, especially Houston. You get the humidity in there. You know, you don't even worry. Just, it is appropriate to be sweaty. If someone's not sweaty, you get a little suspicious what they're up to.
If somebody's not sweating, you assume that they're like already into heat stroke and or dehydration. It's really what it is. Like,
it's more dangerous.
You gonna die? Are you okay? No, so we're not here to talk about heat-related illnesses. We're here to talk about a fall-wintry matchup between the Kansas State We really aren't going to talk about the matchup. We're just talking about the Kansas State Wildcats. And I'm going to say the Jayhawks at least one time today, not to piss off JT.
Oh, no.
Just because my brain is a weird place. I have three kids and none of them sleep. So it's the fourth year of the Chris Klieman era. He is, weirdly enough, the like second or third most tenured head coach in the conference with 4 years under his belt. Congrats. Went 8-5 in a win over LSU in the Texas Bowl a year ago. That's his second 8-5 season. There was a 4-6 season during the COVID year. That was weird for everybody. But what are the expectations for 2022 after showing some progress last year and ending the year with that big bowl win?
It's hard to not say that expectations are pretty high, right? When we're turning one of the best players in the country, you know, whether you're a Bijan Robinson fan or a Deuce Vaughn fan, I mean, there's two of the best, you know, athletes in the country right there. And so, you know, we've got one of them, and that's pretty huge. Most players on the preseason All Big 12 teams. I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, you shouldn't, as a K-State fan, you shouldn't expect this team to end up, you know, in Arlington in December. But you know, at minimum, the floor is no worse than last year. So, you know, 8-5 is it's got to feel like the floor here heading into Klieman's fourth season with so much returning. The big changes they made in the offseason with the coaching staff, going with Colin Klein at offensive coordinator. And he was really the architect of that dismantling of LSU. I mean, what, you know, you want to, LSU fans will talk about how depleted they were, but, you know, their second string is still all 3 and 4 stars and still playing against, you know, K-State's, you know, our best is about their average. So it's just like playing Texas, same thing. Like, you know, theoretically on paper, these teams should have more talent than we do. And even the freshmen. So, you know, beating a team like that is always a big win for us. But yeah, it's, you look through the schedule, look who's up, who's down. You know, we got some new coaches in the league, so you're never quite sure, you know, who's what, you know, what they'll do in their first seasons. But, you know, it feels like the conference is pretty open this year. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility for K-State to end up with a really nice season, end up, you know, within a game or in Arlington in December.
I like the confidence. I think you deserve it. I think it's going to be a very good team. There's going to be some obvious familiar faces, a couple new faces. You referenced it, Colin Klein coming in as the OC. I was at that LSU game. I live in Houston, so I go to the local bowl games. But the offense looked great under him. New quarterback, Taylor Martinez coming in.
Adrian. You got to get the right Martinez from Nebraska.
If you know how many times I have, the way Gerald threatened to call you Jayhawks, I will never get, like, you could tell me right before we record it's Adrian Martinez and I'll say Taylor. And then if Taylor walks across an alumni game at Nebraska, I'll assume it's Adrian. So completely on me. Adrian Martinez, the correct. Know your Martinez's, folks. Adrian Martinez coming in after 4 solid years at Nebraska, doing the super senior year here. Coached by Colin Klein as the OC. What are you expecting? I saw some points against that LSU team. Maybe some more speed for the. I think y'all were last in the plays per game last year. So maybe some more pace from the offense. What are you expecting to see with a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, definitely a higher pace of play. That's something they've talked about quite a bit this offseason. You know, maybe not going to a true no huddle, but definitely moving quicker. They'll still huddle, but they won't go, you know, take it to 5 seconds on the play clock before they snap the ball anymore. I mean, there'll be times that happens, but not, that's not going to be the, you know, expectation anymore. So they'll move with some more tempo. We'll see some differences in the you know, the quarterback run game. I think they'll try to use Adrian's wheels a little bit more. Not that Skyler was slow by any means. I mean, he could run pretty well, but especially by that last season, he'd been banged up enough that he needed. He really turned into a true pro passer during the Oklahoma game. He had been hurt prior in the season before. before that and turned into a looked like a pro passer at the Oklahoma game. But Adrian's definitely more reliant on his athleticism on the ground. Probably try to limit his turnovers. That's probably his biggest knock coming from Nebraska, is that he was kind of a turnover machine. I think we'll see some, you know, with him not having to run for his life anymore behind Nebraska's shaky O-line, that should help quite a bit. And of course, having Deuce Vaughn there in the backfield to get the ball to, either on, you know, screens or whatever. I mean, clearly teams are going to be keying on Vaughn. So, you know, I think they'll start to get creative with the quarterback run game again. He'll probably end up looking more like, you know, the Colin Klein seasons than maybe the Skylar Thompson seasons.
I still have nightmares about some of those, if I'm being completely honest with you. Colin Klein is one of, like, Kansas State has this weird corner of my head and my nightmares. Like, Ron Prince and Colin Klein, like, every 6 weeks or so, I wake up in a cold sweat thinking that they're coming to just kick me while I'm down. It's really what I'm expecting. You mentioned
it's not a kick. It's a stomp. It's the Ron Prince stomp. The only good thing that came out of Ron Prince.
You've been Ron stomped. I love it. So you mentioned Deuce Vaughn in there, and he was one of two unanimous preseason all-conference players, the other one being Bijan Robinson. And Deuce is coming back for his third year. Texas let him get out of the Austin area. He went up to Kansas, and he almost had, like, what, 2,000 total yards last year? He was, like, a sneeze away from that. So 2,000 yards total is a big ask each and every year. What do you expect from a guy? I mean, does he bat 2,000 again this year? Like, what do you think, especially in this offense that's going to be a little more high octane?
That's tough. I mean, he's no secret anymore. Not that he really was even last year, but I think we saw it, not so much against LSU, but even towards the end of the season, some of the Big 12 defensive coordinators had kind of started to figure out Deuce Vaughn. Of course, it was, I think, the offense a little bit more one-dimensional, and they got, you know, like in the Texas game, lining him up and, you know, third and short, fourth and short in the Wildcat is just not a recipe for success. You know, some of that, I think we'll see. Maybe he won't hit quite the overall numbers as in terms of, like, total yards, but I think we'll see higher yards per play, higher yards per catch, that kind of stuff. You know, more explosive plays out of him, because they'll have to be more creative in getting him the ball. And I think those are going to open up some avenues for him to be a little bit more, to show more of his explosiveness, that open field quickness. And then just, you know, having some other legitimate targets is really going to help him out. So, you know, you'll have to then spread the ball out more, unless this team's scoring 40 or 50 points a game. There's just no way he's going to rack up, I think, the total number of yards that he had been getting, just because you'll have to spread the ball out enough to really open him up some more. You know, Adrian Martinez will take some of those yards on the ground. Hopefully, you know, one or two of the other receivers will take some of those yards away from him in the air. But like I said, I think that opens up his ability to be more explosive. And, you know, some of those, like, slip screens, the line, you know, it, when he's in the middle of the linebackers and they've lost him because they're looking over his head, and where he's going to score more, you know, 50 yard kind of plays versus having to dink and dime a little bit more down the field.
There are certain players that you just wish, you know, they had college football video games with classic teams for, because L. Roberson and Darren Sproles are kind of the perfect video game pairing. I see a Taylor Martinez, Deuce Vaughn combo there. I mean, you said more yards per play. The guy averaged 6.6, I think, last year. So that's scary to think about.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's not all that, you know, out of the realm to think he could hit 7 or even 8, especially in a, you know, a little bit more high octane offense, if things are opened up a little bit more for him. There were so many of those plays where he was the only option. And so, you know, he's going to get 2 yards because we need him to get 2 yards. And now I don't think we're going to need him to get 2 yards. And so that'll, you know, bump that yard per play up a little bit.
And he is legitimately one of my favorite players to watch in space, and again every week except when he plays Texas. I love to see what he can do as just kind of that prototypical jitterbug running back. But good friend of the podcast, he's been on here before, Coach Zajac. He came to Cedar Ridge right when Deuce left, so he didn't coach him, but heard the stories that lingered after he went, and nothing but good stuff about Deuce as a man as well, obviously as a football player. But that brings me to the offensive line, right? Coach Zajac is the offensive line coach, now moved on to a different school. But the offensive line at Kansas State is an interesting kind of mix, because you got to get Deuce that space. You got to protect Taylor, get him enough to Adrian Martinez to get him enough space to do what he can do with his legs. And you certainly know what you have in Cooper Beebe, right? The Pro Football Focus's fifth highest graded returning tackle. But you are replacing three interior linemen. Is the line an area of concern, or are they just going to churn out another solid unit as they always kind of seem to do?
Yeah. That's one of Connor Riley's calling cards there on the O-line. It's really like next man up. You talk about Cooper Beebe, he's, you know, all conference left tackle, and he's playing out of position. He's a guard. You know, he's going to get drafted to play guard in the NFL, and, you know, late first, early second round here. Hopefully, you know, as a K-State fan, hopefully it's a year later, but, you know, it's probably going to be this coming year. So, we got a stud freshman out of North Dakota that'll be on that left side. He's been, the word out of camp, and, you know, everything's all rosy in camp, but the word out of camp is he's, you know, better than Cooper Beebe even. So, I mean, it's like, wow, you know, this kid's better than Cooper Beebe, then that's pretty serious. But we've got some guys back on the right side that were supposed to start last year, but got injured in fall camp, and so they were out. So we're, you know, as good as the line was last year, there were guys starting that probably wouldn't have started. So, it's really that bunch of, you know, guys that have worked hard, have really worked up in the system. Whatever it is about Connor Riley's coaching and his development of those guys, it's just, you know, we get those, you know, three-star guys. Don't need a five-star offensive tackle out of high school. You know, that it's a kid that, you know, maybe a little undersized or something, and all of a sudden they're, you know, all conference stud, and they keep pumping them out every year. So pretty excited to see, you know, which five line up in the starting roles. We're pretty confident in three or four of them, but there's a couple spots where it's, you know, it's an or kind of positioned, and either one they go with is going to be pretty solid.
I love a good or on the offensive line, and by I love, I mean I hate. It gives me no end of anxiety going into it. Now, we've talked a lot about the run, but it's easy to do that with Kansas State, because that's what Kansas State has been since Bill Snyder emerged from the ground wearing pleated khakis and white Cortezes.
Right.
But they also bring back two of probably the top receiving threats, or two more talented receiving threats we've seen at Kansas State in a long time, in Phillip Brooks and Malik Knowles. So you've got a threat there. We talked about going a little more high octane. So, like, what do you expect the usage of those two guys to be in 2022 in an offense that features a more of a run first quarterback and a running back that's one of the best in the country?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think they'll see about the same usage that they've had. I expect them to see more, only because there's going to be more plays available, right? You know, increased tempo means there will be more plays, unless you're just scoring boatloads, right? Unless you're just racking up 50, 60 points a game, there's going to be more opportunities for getting the ball out there to those playmakers. I also think, you know, like in the bowl game, we're going to see some more three and four wide receiver sets. So that's going to get the opportunity for more guys, more touches. Phillip Brooks is kind of, in essence, a poor man's Deuce Vaughn. I mean, he's great in space. He's good catching the ball. He's a little shorter than Deuce, which is amazing, because, you know, you think of Deuce as small as he is, but Brooks is somehow even a little smaller, quick and good hands. Malik is that big bodied receiver that, you know, we've always lusted after. And he's had really good games against Texas, and some really bad games against bad teams. And, you know, he's always been kind of an enigma. He's often hurt. And, you know, if he can put together a whole season healthy, he can really be a force there. And there's some other guys, you know, we'll see. And, you know, I think we'll actually see more passing to the tight end, which is, you know, almost sacrilege here at K-State that, you know, it doesn't happen. You don't pass to the tight end. They're just blockers. But I think we'll see some more passing to the tight end. Some guys they've recruited in the last few years are definitely more of that pass catching type of guy. So big body pass catchers. And then there's always the threat. We got another Lockett. So one of Tyler's little brothers, he'll be a true freshman. So you never know. It, you know, put a Lockett out there, crazy things happen. So that's, you know, always something you got to be on the watch for.
That's terrifying. I don't need another Lockett in my life. You do seem to have a lot of the same name. I respect that about your family atmosphere program. You get a lot of these brothers, sons, cousins, whatever. I can see a lot of the same last names between coaches and players. I like that. That's true to your family atmosphere, I think. The other half of the family, though, we got to talk about here. We've talked a lot of offense, and I think rightfully so. But Kansas State always has a good defense, especially 2 years ago. I think it really was their calling card. Was good last year, without a doubt. But I think there's certain things that Kleiman's going to want from his team. You return some talent for sure. You got Eli Huggins and Daniel Green both coming back, of course. You know, one of the better defensive ends in the conference, maybe the country. You do lose some tacklers and Cody Fletcher, Ross Elder, some issues maybe, or not issues, some question marks to be filled at safety, linebacker, things like that. Overall, zoom out, where do you think this defense stands, and what are the kind of key things you're watching and groups and players you're watching on that side of the ball?
Yeah, safety is definitely the biggest question mark. Losing three and a half, you know, regular full-time starters, that's tough. And especially guys that were, you know, 3 and 4 year contributors to the program. It's hard to replace guys like that. And there's some pretty talented guys, but that's definitely an area they hit really hard in the transfer portal, going after both junior college and, you know, 4 year transfer guys to really reload the experience back there. So that's probably the single largest question mark. Getting Eli Huggins back at nose guard is huge. I mean, he's been around the program since Bill Snyder was here. So, I mean, he's been here forever. I think he was a true freshman that Snyder's last season in 2018. So, you know, having him back is humongous. We also get Khalid Duke back, who came on as a force in 2020 and then got hurt right at the beginning of last year. And we were all worried. It's like, oh man, we're screwed. We lost Khalid Duke. He was a sane pass rusher. What are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, you get Felix and Udike Uzama step up and turn into a sack master. Right. So it's like, okay, now we got both those guys back. You got a guy like Nate Maclack, who's a true sophomore Kansas kid, who could really turn into a force at DN. The biggest thing I know last year is they were switching defenses. So as guys came in, K-State, it was a 4-3 defense. It's what Kleiman had always run. He's a defensive guy. That's the system he had always run, was 4-3 defense. Last year, they decided to make the big switch and run a 3-3-5, fairly similar to what Iowa State's running. There's several programs that are starting to run that now. And there was some questions, especially at the beginning of the year from the coaching staff. And they hedged and they tried to leave some of the 4-3 stuff in there. And it really screwed with them until they just went all in with the 3-3-5. And things got quite a bit better towards the end of the season. So year two, now they're confident in the system. They've got players that are confident in the system. I think overall, the defense should actually be better because you've got that you know, another year of confidence in the system. You've got all these key players back. I haven't even mentioned the cornerbacks. You got Julius Brents, who should be a, you know, first couple round selection probably in the draft this year. He'll probably go. He'd be silly if he didn't. Same with Echo Boydo. His kid we stole out of Lawrence, Kansas, who's now you know, an all conference kind of level of cornerback. So you get those two guys out there. I would just got to figure out what we're doing at safety. There's some good options there, but that will be the early question mark. And dealing with Missouri early on the schedule is going to be really interesting. And then we open conference at Oklahoma. which is, so we got two really tough games in the first four, and we'll really figure out pretty quick if that defense is, the back end of that defense is going to hold up.
So with that being said, you kind of hit on some early season struggles. What I want to ask is, like, or some early season high water marks, we'll call it. We don't want to call it struggles, but like, when you look back at 2022, the season overall, if we're sitting in December and having a similar conversation, what would you say is a successful season for Kansas State?
Like I said, when we opened up here, I think 8-5 is the floor, right? Mm. If they're any worse than they were last year, then that's a serious problem. I don't think it's, you know, with everything that returns, you've got to think that, you know, 9 wins is really what the target is. The real, like, if we're setting a realistic goal, you know, 9 wins is the target. Above that, then, you know, we're starting to get into, well, this is a good season. So you talk about a great season, 11, 12 wins, obviously, you know, getting to, Arlington is the ultimate goal for every program in the Big 12. But yeah, I think for this season to be classified as a good season, we've got to hit at least that 9 win mark. 8-5 is the expectation. It's the minimum. 9-4 is good, and 10 and up is great, right?
Those numbers are absolutely great. I don't think any program in the conference is going to be scoffing at those, especially this year. It does feel like there's I'm not going to steal Gerald's term, but there's a healthy amount of parity. It'll be curious if it's middle parity, or like the kind of basketball season was, where there's just parity, elite parity, where everyone's really good. But I think it could be more there's a lot of quite to very good teams with no one really separating themselves. Gerald, what do you?
It's a crabs in a barrel season. Everybody's just grabbing and pulling.
Right, and there's no one. I don't think there's any one team that really stands out. It's like, oh my God, they're going to be so good. I mean, Baylor's probably at the top of that list, returning everything they did from. Mm. Did they win the Big 12 title?
They
Am
did.
I crazy?
They
did.
Did.
Okay.
They did.
By 1 yard.
They're the odds-on favorite, right? But there's talent at Texas and Oklahoma. There's good coaches. I mean, I think as a K-State fan, what we're really worried about is pulling an Iowa State, right? So with Chris Klieman looking like Matt Campbell, where there's all this show and you know, Iowa State supposedly had their best team ever last season and still went 8-5, and it's like, okay, well, what are you doing? And so we just don't want to end up like that. You know, we want to get back to the Bill Snyder glory days, where you're winning 11 games every season.
Don't we all? Let's switch it up. Let's go from the more football heavy serious stuff. And I'll give you a toss up to make the transition easier before we go into the wild world outside of pure football in our rapid fire section. Like picking a favorite child right now, toss up to start it off. You have to pick one returner on this football team. Who's the better returner, Malik Knowles or Phillip Brooks?
Oh, that's tough. Are we talking kickoff or punt returns?
Returner.
Just returner in general?
I know one does one and the other does the other, and they both are all conference level. But we know Kansas State loves special teams, but you can only have one in this scenario.
I'm probably going to go with Brooks. I don't think he's quite the home run threat on kick returns, but it's easier to find a home run threat on kick returns, I think, than it is for punt returns. And he's definitely a home run threat on punt returns. So, you know, being elite at punt returns, he's still pretty good at kick returns too. It's just Malik's just been a little better at those. So I'm going to go with Phillip Brooks.
I love it. Okay. So we've been asking this every week, and I want to get your thoughts, past or present. What's your dream NIL partnership for a player? Pick a player, any player, past or present, and a brand you would love them to shill for. What's your dream NIL partnership?
Oh man, that's tough. There's so many good ones. I think the easiest one, and it's low hanging fruit because it kind of already happened, was Byron Pringle, wide receiver, and you know, obviously Pringles, the chip brand, and they did kind of that with when he was at the Chiefs, and that's kind of fun. But of course, you know, that one just, it makes sense, right? Like there's no reason that one should have never happened. So like that's we've. That one's just, it's just too on the nose. It's like, I got to go with that one.
I think you also, don't you have a player on the roster currently named Pickle?
Yep, Jalen Pickle.
There you go.
Big old kid.
You just got to keep the food-related names and the NIL deals sell themselves.
Right.
All right. We talked about it at the top of the show. You know, you have a really elite running back. Texas, with a lot of uncertainties, the one thing they know is they have at least one, but they have certainly one of the best running backs in the country. I'm not going to make you sit here and pick one over the other, because I think they're both All-American level. In their own way, they do different things. But basically what we're seeing is two elite guys at the height of their college football kind of prowess. So I was liking it to the Bijan Deuce matchup right now is kind of like Prince and Michael Jackson at their height, right? Each is good. They have their own style. Maybe they hate each other. Maybe they go up against each other. Maybe you can't be fans of both. You got to pick one. Which is Bijan and which is Deuce in the Prince Michael Jackson analogy, and then give us Deuce's signature song.
I think if you look at the two, Bijan has more star power, right? So he's at Texas, bigger name. You got to say he's Michael Jackson. Okay. Deuce can do a little bit of everything. He's at K-State, is a little bit more under the radar. It's definitely more of like Prince type. I mean, Prince was a superstar, but he wasn't always, you know, just a leading man, right, in the music scene. So, and then of course his signature song's got to be Purple Rain, right? Yeah. I mean, you just can't. I mean, if you're talking about Prince and K-State, it's got to be Purple Rain. Can't pick anything else.
That's pitch perfect analysis. Also, Prince is 5'2", so Deuce would tower over my man, but Prince is.
Let's extend that metaphor. Prince 5'2", Deuce 5'6", Michael Jackson 5'9". Bijan 6'1". Like, it worked. It's perfect. It works out perfectly.
It just works. Can Bijan moonwalk?
I don't know that there's anything he can't do, so I'm going to just confidently say yes.
Okay.
So we're going to end it on the easiest hard question you're going to get all day. I need you to say one nice thing about either Iowa State or Kansas University. Pick one. Say one nice thing about either school.
Oh, man. Let's see. That's tough. That's real tough, man.
Hardest question we've asked you all day.
I'm gonna have to go with KU, because they have a really good medical school. It's not You know, it's not KU proper. It's KU Med, and it's a little different, but it's got the KU in the name. So we'll use it for this question. Go with KU Med's a great institution. So that gives KU the leg up in this argument.
That's very diplomatic, very diplomatic. Well, JT, thank you so much for giving us like 30-ish minutes of your time, man. If folks want more of what you have to offer, where can they find you on the internet?
If they want a lot of K-State sports in general in their Twitter feed, they can follow me there at JT Arkman. Otherwise, go to Bring on the Cats, and we've got our countdown series going right now. We'll start getting into team analysis here in the next week or two as we start getting close to the season. So start breaking down positions and getting everybody excited.
I love it. Thanks, JT. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
All right, Gerald, let's take it home. Little Godzillatron, what have you been watching on your giant screen?
So, family night, movie night. Again, I'd like to give you my update. We watched Hotel Transylvania 2. Not quite as good as the first, but I liked it was fun. It was, my kids enjoyed it. My son laughed hysterically. I've never seen him laugh so hard he can't breathe, so that was a first for us. It was good. It's kind of like Adam Sandler, like he does in the movies, gets just all his friends together. It's like, let's just be weird for an hour and a half. So it's fine. My wife has not seen What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show. I'm a big fan of it. So doing a rewatch, it's one of the few shows I've ever seen her laugh out loud on a first viewing, which is great. Loves a good pun. And then what I really want to talk about is, I talked about it last week. We were like four episodes into The Bear, and I was like, it's a good show. And then I watched the last half of that season, and I would put that on my like top seasons of all time, like TV show list. Like, I don't want to oversell this, but the way that they told a really complete story, because again, the best TV show, especially first season, you don't know if you're going to get another season. So the way that they told a really complete encapsulated story in 8 30-minute episodes with that level of acting and that level of like, every episode was basically a bottle episode because 90% of that show is in the restaurant. So like, it's just incredible stuff. The seventh episode, this is not a spoiler, is one complete tracking shot. Like, once they get into the restaurant, there are no cuts ever to the rest of the episode. And it is so good. And they use it to build the intensity so perfectly. And then the finale, the lead in this show, I've never seen him in anything before, but that man does some acting. Like, he has a 10-minute monologue at the start of the show, and it's just so stinking good. So, like, I cannot sing the praises of that show enough. It's so good. It is very intense. It is a restaurant, so it's very vulgar. If you ever worked in restaurants, you know what the language is like in the kitchen. If you're not into that, then skip it. But, like, I worked in restaurants. My wife worked in restaurants. And so this is very interesting to us. It's just really good human drama. There's nothing crazy built. It's just people being people and the pressure that life puts you under. So good. I cannot recommend it enough. If you're into that sort of thing, check it out. It's on Hulu.
It sounds delicious, Gerald. I will absolutely be checking it out. What We Do in the Shadows is also, that was my, I always have a show that I watch by myself that my wife, it doesn't mind if I watch without her, and then I have to rewatch, you know, three times when she falls asleep. But anyways, that's my show. But as I've been without AT&T's blessing of internet, which I have DirecTV Stream and couldn't stream from any of my devices without internet, so I have not watched a ton. But I am, good news, as of earlier this week, as of I believe Sunday, when you're listening to this, will come out on Thursday. So on Sunday, I'm 4 days back in the saddle. I watched a little time alone. I was checking various apps, and I logged on to HBO and looked at my list, and Many Saints of Newark was towards the top. And I said, it's been too long. I've been meaning to watch this for a year. And so I finally watched that. It was pretty great. It's great if you're a big Sopranos fan. If you're watching it standalone, you may not love it. As far as Sopranos, like, standard of excellence, it's not as good as probably any episode in that series. But it's good. It's more Sopranos content. It's an interesting look at some interesting characters. They try to wrestle with some of the biggest criticisms of the show, how they deal with race, and they do okay. Leslie Odom is actually great in it. It's pretty good. It's a really good little hit of the Sopranos world, and you know, it's enjoyable if that's a world you love, which, you know, Mike Roach, myself, definitely do. Other than that, haven't really been able to consume too much. Finished one book, started reading another. I'm reading God of Small Things, which is an interesting read. I'm about a third of the way in. I'm curious where exactly we're going here, but interesting read so far. But yeah, haven't been a little bit unplugged for 2 weeks, and it's been kind of nice. Ready to get back aggressively online, though.
And that's all we've got for you this week. Always aggressively online. Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Carbon. You can also follow the Texas Pregamer at Texas Pregamer.
You can follow me on Twitter. I am at GH Goodridge. Follow the show on Twitter at Longhorn Pod. Facebook and Instagram, The Longhorn Republic. Or shoot us an email, longhornrepublicpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. And until next time, hook 'em.
Hook 'em. Bijan is the answer. Bijan's the better running back out of the two. Bijan.